Hello again there, folks. So I recently watched a short Japanese animation film called Cannon Fodder, which I found on BitChute. It's about 20 minutes long, and I thought that it had a lot of interesting things which sort of reflected the 2020 and a lot of things that have happened in 2020, and by the looks of it, what's going to be happening in the future. And Cannon Fodder set in a city-state, which we don't know what it's called, but it's surrounded by a wall and has cannons all over the walls, all over the roofs. There's cannons everywhere in the city. It's crazy. And then it's on the outside of it, it's just like this empty, pockmarked desert. And what we do in the movie, what goes on, is that we follow a day in the life of a boy. And we begin at home with his parents, and then we see him go off to school. And we learn that actually the way the city functions, the politics of the city, the economic life of the city, the social hierarchy of the city, all of it, like absolutely everything, is dedicated to keeping the cannons firing multiple times a day. The production of the city is almost entirely down to producing cannons, shells. And then the boy grows up, he wants to be the man who actually gets to fire the cannon, which is like a very pompous and prestigious position to have in the city state. And what I found interesting is that we never actually get to see, or it's never explained, why they're firing the cannons or who the enemy is. There's actually some resistance on the streets. There's people on the streets, and they are sort of protesting. But they're protesting because they believe that the shells are poisonous. They're not actually protesting because... But they're not protesting in the sense that they're asking why we have to fire these cannons in the first place. In other words, this is taken for granted. There's no critique... of the foundational myth of the society. And what we find really is that this is like a system of control. And at one stage, the boy asks his dad, who are we actually fighting? Who is the enemy? And it seems that nobody in the city knows. Nobody has any idea. The cannons, they just take it for granted that this is how things are. The cannons just have to be fired. And the father tells the boy, well, you'll find out, you'll understand when you're older. And then he picks up a piece of paper and he sees that the boy is like drawing pictures of himself in the future being able to fire the cannon. And it's sort of implied that when the father was young, he was like that as well. When he was a young boy, he also dreamed of growing up one day to be able to be the man who actually sort of pulls the trigger and fires the largest of the cannons in the city. In actual fact, the father looks like he's been a bit of a failure. He looks completely depressed. His life is in a dead end. And so even the people who are criticizing the system or unhappy about the system, who complain about the food shortages or that the cannons are poisoning everybody, even they aren't asking a question of, well, why are we firing these cannons? And so what it is a system of control where nobody even knows anymore how to question the foundational myth of the society. The entire society has been constructed around combating an invisible and unseen enemy. Now, you can read Cannon Fodder as a kind of standard liberal criticism of a fascistic or a communist society where they've constructed this big bad other. And it certainly looks that way. It's very militaristic. It really reminds you of certain regimes from the mid-20th century, let's say. So in that way, it will be a kind of standard liberal criticism of a militaristic society which has defined itself as being in opposition to this constructed big bad other. And in the case of Cannon Fodder, to the degree where the actual... if there was ever any other purpose to the society, you've got no idea what it is, because they only know the paradigm of just being against this unseen enemy and firing off the cannons every day. That's all they have to them. That's all the society is about, which would be a kind of liberal criticism of fascism or maybe communism or something. But this kind of, that's easy. But then, is that the case with liberalism itself? In modern Western liberalism, let's say, is it the case that we have constructed and mythologized ideologies or figures in the past, and we've then defined ourselves as being in opposition to these figures from the past? And it's this permanent state of mind where we're in a constant, highly strung and hysterical battle against this mythologized big bad from another time. Or maybe they're still out there. Maybe we have to be constantly vigilant against them. I mean, the point here is that liberalism supposes that people think freely and arrive at conclusions through discourse and rationalism, when in actual fact, we can quite easily look and think of a couple of figures from the past. But then what about now? What about now? Is there an unseen enemy, which may or may not exist, which is now also being used to redefine how we live, and that will then also become a foundational myth? I also found it interesting that the opposition in Cannon Fodder was sort of left-wing. They took the founding premise, the foundational myth was taken for granted, but then they criticised the system based on the premise that the workers were suffering and that there was toxins because of the shells. They didn't actually dig into the founding myth. They didn't actually ask, is there really an enemy even out there? Because that would be to pull back the curtain on the whole circus. What would happen to Cannon Fodder if it was revealed that if the truth began to circulate, if there was a quote-unquote conspiracy theory began to move around in the population, that actually there was nothing out there and that this was just all a conspiracy. It was a system of control in a way to keep the population duped and enslaved to carrying out a completely pointless task and living in this awful way for no reason other than it suited the elites. The elites, of course, are the ones in that city-state who have a vested interest in keeping the system as it is. And it's the controlled opposition who are going to come out and sort of perform criticism of the system, but without actually digging into its fundamentals. The people who do that would be the most dangerous, and they'll be censored and purged, and they'll also be seen as fundamentally immoral. So we can look in the past, I think, and we can definitely find ideologies and figures throughout history which liberalism has defined itself in that way. But then what about now? Again, when we look now with something like the Great Reset or the pandemic, is this what we are in now? Is this them building the cannons and building the walls and then saying, well, this is like a state of emergency. We have to redefine how we think and how we behave in order to combat this great unseen enemy. And this is how we will live forever. Maybe at some point in the future, the people will have largely forgotten about the actual disease itself. And the process, the system will just be normalized. It will become the default setting of the society. And so what we're dealing with here is a society which has been constructed and created around a meta-narrative that they are permanently at war against an unseen foe. And you might remember in 1984 by Orwell, there's something similar going on there as well. But it's also true that the primary enemies of the system of Big Brother 1984 are internal, the Goldstein. So there's this constant need to purge and execute people and arrest people for thought crimes and things like that. This is much more problematic to do in the liberal West, because despite it all, despite all the other things and the ridiculous hate speech laws and everything, people do actually have rights. Like, this lies right at the heart of liberalism, even though they are being eroded steadily. Instead, though, if the way you get around that, the way you enact control in a liberal society is through an external enemy, because then anybody who opposes it, anybody who opposes the meta-narrative, is by default also endangering everybody else. In cannon fodder, for example, if people began to criticise the system and they began to get tired of having their whole lives dominated by the need to endlessly fire off cannons into the desert, they would be called traitors and enemies of the people. And so in that way, that's a more sophisticated and effective way to reduce a liberal state to a police state, because then you're going to be held directly responsible for infringing on the rights and safety of everybody else. The best way to enact a police state in a liberal system is to conjure up a big bad enemy, which the whole society has to roll up their sleeves and change their lifestyles, change everything in order to combat. Makes me think, doesn't it? I'll catch you later, folks.